Well, I told you we'd be back. It is part of Mile High Magazine. Again, I am Murphy Houston, and joining me now is Shannon Francis, who's the executive director of Spirit of the Sun. Shannon, welcome to Mile High Magazine this morning.
Thank you so much.
I'm curious to find this out, and we were talking a bit before we started talking here. I talk to so many organizations each and every week, and there's so many I've never heard of, and I'm always excited to learn something new about something going on in our community, as our listeners are too. And this is one of them, Spirit of the Sun. Got to tell you, I never heard about it. So, Shannon, you're the boss. What is Spirit of the Sun?
Well, we are located, we're a 501c3 nonprofit located in Denver, Colorado, on Capitol Hill. We are an indigenous woman-led organization, and we work to empower Native youth and Native elders through our various programs.
And what do you do in your program? Well, let me back up. Why is it so important to get the youth involved? Let's start with that, and some of the seniors. Why is it so important to have them so involved?
The elders, we consider our kings and queens, and they hold a lot of the knowledge of our ancestors. And so we've incorporated a seventh-generation principle as a component to transfer knowledge from our elders to our youth. And so most of that knowledge is knowledge that comes from a bioregion specifically to each nation. And this knowledge, a lot of it has been lost through COVID, but we've been able to start doing some digital storytelling, remote classes, and building our curriculum, which we have a curriculum that will work to give this knowledge to these youth for things like agriculture knowledge, seed knowledge, things like ancestral foods. And so we're building our programs based on each bioregion, but also this bioregion here in Colorado, and it is indigenous territories of the Ute, Cheyenne, and Arapaho. So we have other nations that are part of this territory as well, too. So we have a good, probably well-rounded of different nations, and so this knowledge is being lost faster than ever because of COVID. So we've built our programs to hold that curriculum and pass it on to the next generation through our programs of connecting to the natural world and empowering, such as language, holding that language, because language is being lost again faster than ever.
Wow.
So our programs are really built to really carry that knowledge over. And we have a team leadership cohort that is doing that right now. There are trainers that are doing some agriculture work and mycelium work.
Let me back up a little bit. Why was so much of this valuable information you're talking about right now, why was it lost during COVID? What happened there?
We had a lot of elders that passed from COVID. A lot of people lost their grandparents, community leaders, spiritual leaders. And this knowledge is very vital, because once it's, if it's not passed down and not transferred over, then that whole those generations are lost, and the knowledge that we have is very sacred. It ties into connecting with each bioregion, like I said earlier. This culture, it's a cultural resilience that we're trying to build and inspire our youth to take up. And so it's, you know, when you have knowledge that's lost, you have to work harder to find it and retain it. And a lot of our urban Native youth are also becoming disinterested as well, too. And so when COVID hit, a lot of people depended on their cell phones and virtual communication. And so a lot of the social ties, the in-person socializing with our youth was diminished. And so now we're trying to rebuild that back and show kids how to socialize in person. And so a lot of that was done through powwows and different events and our programs. We went virtual. So now we're coming back into doing stuff in person. And so it seems to be helping a lot more.
Well, I guess so. That is so valuable. It's kind of like what families, you know, talk to grandma and grandpa about what happened in their family. You kind of pass that down so it's not forgotten. It's the same kind of concept, right?
Right. Exactly.
Well, it's... Go ahead.
Yeah, report, and we're trying I don't want to say capture, but trying to collect that information, record it as things are happening, like language, indigenous arts and culture, like beading, quilt working. We have a quilt worker, Cecilia Bullbear. She's one of the last quilt workers in Denver. And so there used to be three, and so she's the only one that's really showing the community how to do quilt work.
Right.
So that right there itself shows that, you know, these different techniques and skills are being lost at a faster rate. And so she's training people and holding webinars and classes, even to, I believe, other nations outside of Native nations, how to do this quilt work. And it is vital for it to be passed on. So.
Absolutely. We're talking with Shannon Francis, who's the executive director of Spirit of the Sun, an interesting involvement with elders and the youth. Now, talk about the meetings. Are they only in the Denver area, or they get into rural areas? And how does that all work?
So with remote technology, we are able to get into different areas that are outside of Denver. Some of our cultural workshops, like our BIPOC yoga, we held last year, and throughout COVID, we've had some indigenous arts and culture, like beadwork classes, quillwork classes, different artists coming forward and being able to hold these classes online. So we're coming back to opening up our entrepreneurship program for our indigenous youth, too. We have a lot of agriculture workshops that we do online as well. We prefer to have the in-person interaction,
right,
because just really showing people how to talk to seeds. That's one of our programs, is talking to seeds, being able to work with soil, doing seed ball making, harvesting seeds, preserving seeds, being able to, we grow our own herbs and teas and medicines in our farms. We have partner farms, and we take these herbs and harvest them, dry them ourselves, process them ourselves, and then we have workshops on how to do all of that as well, and show these youth and elders. Elders will also show youth their techniques and share their knowledge in how to dry certain things. So we have an elder, Christina Conquering Bear, that knows how to harvest choke cherries, process them, make choke cherry jam.
Ooh.
She dries meat traditionally. So she's an elder that possesses all of this really valuable knowledge and can pass it on to people to return to their traditional diets and decolonize our diets or re-indigenize our diets. So a lot of these skills are skills that people can learn, that we don't need the conventional techniques of cooking. So you can do a lot of this on your own, if you have the food to do that. And so decolonizing our diets is another priority, to really get away from things that are causing cancer and diabetes.
Wow.
And so a lot of that is important information to transfer onto youth from elders.
What a great education to have for those young people. And what's the reaction of the elders? I mean, I bet they're almost excited to get involved, to pass down this history of whatever they're involved with to the youth.
Yeah, our elders are very open, and they're so happy that we're doing this work. We asked our elders to do some digital storytelling about 3 to 4 times a year. And so they know that this information is being taught and shown to a lot of the youth. And we have about a dozen youth that have taken a lot of this knowledge and are becoming the trainers. So they're busy training tweens. They went through an intense certification course in 2022.
Right.
And since then, they've been working with us to really open up more programs, and they're just really tickled. And they're working right now on how to grow mycelium. We just had an Indigenous youth cooking class in September. Moving forward, they're going to do a lot more in terms of learning how to do some public speaking. They went through a youth media hub. Some of them went through a youth media hub program. So 2 or 3 of those youth are going to do the digital storytelling of elders in another project called the Mycelium Healing Project.
So what's the reaction of the young people? Do you find it hard to want them to learn the history of their background, of their families, of the heritage of what's happened to them? Do their parents encourage this? How does that work?
Well, a lot of the youth come from different areas. They're not all from the same nation. We have youth from different nations that bring their motivation and inspiration and curiosity together. And they're, you know, we're trying to help them empower their voices. They are youth that want to make change. They are motivated, they're ambitious, and they want to address climate change. They want to do this through climate resilience, and not that we're calling it as climate resilience, and how to learn how to get these skills to move through climate change with climate resilience.
Interesting. So they're going to regular school, and they're learning this about their families on the side. Is that kind of the
And so they're being more ambitious in talking to their families of where they come from, talking to their grandmas and grandparents, if they have grandparents, about ancestral foods, about medicines, about things. So they're really engaging with their own grandparents on how to get information and learn more about it on their own.
Very cool. Now, we know November, which we're into already, November is Native American Heritage Month. So what would you like everybody to know about Native American heritage? What should we be researching on our own? Or what's happening? Is there any events happening?
There's tons of events happening all over Denver. There's less than about a dozen Native nonprofits that are actively doing things with youth. Denver Indian Center, they hold powwows, so there's an upcoming powwow. A lot of the socializing during COVID diminished, so now people are getting back into socializing with each other. But Native American Heritage Month is, I think a lot of it is about cultural resilience, about learning about why we're still here, like what happened in these territories. It was something that was very traumatic, but through cultural resilience, we're taking back some of our knowledge and holding our knowledge and still being able to connect to the natural world because we're the caretakers, the original caretakers of these lands.
Sure.
And so we're still going to keep doing that. We've been here for 1,000 years. We're going to continue to be here for 1,000 years. But we, you know, it's not just up to us. So we want people to be able to take care of these places and hold their own knowledge as well, because knowledge comes from each bioregion. We're all indigenous from a bioregion. But for us, it's about moving through climate change, being resilient, being proud of who we are, and keeping that information and that knowledge alive.
Good for you, Shannon. Shannon Francis. Now, before I let you go, do you have a website where people can get more information about Spirit of the Sun and what's going on?
Yes. Our website is spiritofthesun.org. We are on Facebook, we are on Instagram and Twitter, and we do have a newsletter. So if you go to the landing page, scroll down, sign up, we have a contact at Spirit of the Sun email if you want to contact us directly. But yes, feel free to come and join us. And there's so much information that goes out on our newsletter, such as our programs, events, and we share so many other events and programs from other nonprofit organizations that's happening in Denver and abroad.
Fascinating, Shannon. Thank you for spending time with us on Mile High Magazine, explaining more about Spirit of the Sun and these families coming together with their elders. So important. Keep up the good work, kiddo. Sounds great.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. And thank you guys for listening. It's Mile High Magazine. Murphy Houston here. I'll talk to you again next Sunday. And thanks for listening.